When you hear a show tune from the Great White Way, does a shiver run through ya? Well, we're giving them to ya. Sing hallelujah and shout hooray. Come on along and listen to Broadway to Main Street. USA.
Bit by bit, putting it together, piece by piece, only way to make a work of art. Every moment makes a contribution, every little detail plays a part. Having just the vision's no solution, everything depends on execution. Putting it together, that's what counts.
Ounce by ounce, putting it together. Small amounts, adding up to make a work of art. First of all, you need a good foundation, otherwise it's risky from the start. Takes a lot of earnest conversation,
but without the proper preparation,
having just the vision's no solution.
Everything depends on execution.
The art of making art is putting it together,
bit by bit,
note by note, working on projection. Lips, teeth, throat, looking for a moment to inhale, keeping the emotional connection even when your fellow actors fail.
Pointing up the subtext by inflection,
helping your director reach perfection,
even though you have a strong objection to the way she's handling the direction.
Art isn't easy. Every minor detail is a major decision. Have to keep things in scale, have to hold to your vision.
Even when you're feeling apprehensive that you're looking bland and inoffensive,
and you wish your wardrobe was extensive,
don't forget that spangles are expensive.
The light, love. A little to the right, love. It isn't very bright, love. And must it be so tight, love? He does that every night.
Beat by beat, losing inhibition.
Head, hands, feet, trying to relax but not too much.
Trying to lay out the exposition but without exposing it as such.
Trying to perform but not audition. Trying to establish recognition. Trying to persuade the electrician that he should destroy the competition.
Aha. Art isn't easy, not easy. Every word, every line, every glance, every movement you improve and refine. Putting it together, piece by piece, working on the vision night and day. But it takes its time and perseverance, dealing with details along the way,
dealing with producers' interference,
waiting for the author's disappearance,
filling up the holes with animation,
covering the flaws in the construction,
lacking any scenic ostentation.
This is not a Macintosh production.
Finding every tiny syncopation hidden in the tiny orchestration,
working for a tiny compensation, hoping for a thunder of salvation. The art of making art is putting it together, bit by bit, part by part, fit by fit, start by start, stride by stride, kick by kick, glide by glide, stick by stick, side by side, by side, by side, by side, by side, and that is the state of the art.
Well, if there's anything more challenging than putting together a work of art, it might be a musical about a work of art, but maybe even more challenging would be a museum about musicals, about works of art. Hello, this is Larry Maslon, your host for Broadway to Main Street, here on 88.3 WLIW, Long Island's only signature, one-of-a-kind, individual, archival NPR station. And we are today not exactly on Broadway, a stone's throw from Broadway. Don't throw any stones. We're at 145 West 45th Street, which is the home of the new, reasonably new, spectacular, fascinating, must-see on your list, Museum of Broadway. And I am thrilled to be sharing this episode with the co-founder, Julie Boardman. Welcome, Julie.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
Well, it's such a great place, and I know that anybody who's listening to the show, either in the tri-state area, it's a short train ride away, or if you're one of our international listeners, we actually have a lot of them from Australia. When you come to see your next Broadway show, you're going to want to come here. So, Julie, for years, as far as I know, people have tried a Museum of Broadway, and they all failed. How did you succeed?
Yeah, it is one of those things that's kind of like a hidden obvious. Like, how did it not? And also, how am I, with my partner Diane, how are we the ones that actually got it off the ground? Along the way, there are a lot of conversation in the Broadway community about why are millennials not coming to Broadway as much? And how do we get them there? And I think there was a bit of a barrier to entry. Maybe you didn't know about Broadway. You didn't think it was for you. And so those kind of thoughts were going on in my head. And then one of my friends who invested with me in American in Paris was like, why isn't there a Broadway museum? And I was like, I don't know. And so all these like conversations are happening. And Diane and I ended up just catching up as friends, and we were working together a lot at this point. And I said that to her, and we kind of had this big aha moment, like, what if we made it? What would that look like? And what story would we tell? And how would we do it? And from our background in, you know, events, I think we had a lot of really interesting knowledge that ended up an experience that helped, you know, form what people are seeing inside the Museum of Broadway. So you start inside the Museum of Broadway, you start walking the timeline at 1732 with the first documented performance in New York, and you have kind of these more traditional timelines that have people, plays, musicals, milestone moments that happen.
And real estate, too. I mean, The idea of Broadway being at the crossroads of the world and how physically the theater district has changed.
Yeah, I mean, it started in the financial district, and Most people don't realize that. So, you know, we're basically just trying to create what we wish existed. Mm-hmm. You know, I came to New York for my first time when I was 10 and saw a bunch of different Broadway shows. And if this had existed, I might have become a producer much sooner, or maybe I would have been a director, or maybe I would have, you know, who knows where my life would have gone. But most people think they have to be the actor. So that piece of the museum, too, that we have is the making of a Broadway show that David Rockwell designed, and that's, you know, to show people there are so many other ways you can be part of Broadway or work in Broadway. You could be an accountant and work in Broadway.
But so, I think you raise a good point that if you're a kid, you're on stage, maybe you paint the scenery, but there aren't a lot of 10-year-old dramaturgs or, you know, company managers or choreographers or whatever. So that's an aspect of the museum that's really extraordinary. Well, as our friend who started our show today, Julie Andrews, said, perhaps we should start at the very beginning, which is a very good place to start. And there's a chronological trip you can take through the museum. And one of my favorite rooms, because I love him so much, is the Ziegfeld Room. So let us listen to the anthem of the Ziegfeld Follies. You have a lot of sheet music and stuff. I think a 1907 recording would be a little creaky. So let's hear Vic Damone sing the anthem of the Follies.
Like a melody that haunts you night and day, just like the strain of a haunting refrain. She'll start upon a marathon and run around your brain, you can't escape. She's in your memory by morning, night, and noon. She will leave you and then come back again. pretty girl is just like a pretty tune.
That was the groundbreaking and legendary voice of Alfred Drake, of course, from Oklahoma. And you've organized, I don't know how many, 15, 20 rooms around shows that were groundbreakers. Why don't you tell us a little bit about what's in the Oklahoma room?
When you get to Oklahoma, you actually walk through a cornfield, so it comes to life around you. In each of the exhibits...
And the corn is as high as what?
An elephant's eye.
Well done. Okay.
We mark it so that people who may not know everything about Broadway can still be like, oh, yeah, that's where we are in history. Earlier on, there's a Yasmina Reza quote that says, the theater is a sharp reflection, is a mirror, a sharp reflection of society. And so that really informs what's being produced on Broadway and how the art form is growing up along the way as well.
Well, you teed that up beautifully, because one of the things I admire so much about the trip you go on is three floors of exhibits. And a gift shop, which you all have to go to, is how much Broadway represents changes in the ethnic diversity of Manhattan. And certainly going all the way back to the 20s with shows like Shuffle Along, and certainly when we get to 1964, we're talking about a musical that was a groundbreaker that was considered to be too Jewish to make it as a success, when of course so much of the tradition leading up to the 60s and certainly in the teens and 20s had this sort of wonderful ethnic mix. So let's hear a number from Fiddler on the Roof and on our journey through the Museum of Broadway.
Every move that she makes. down, fill the phrase.
Help or I can point.
Step brush, 3, 4.
Suddenly nobody.
Step flick,
step up, step and step.
Lunge, lunge,
slow.
3, 4, 5, 6.
Cat,
kick.
Step brush,
palm up.
5, 6.
Back, back.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8.
That was, of course, from a chorus line.
As I said before, we work with different designers. So in the case of a chorus line, we worked with Liz West, who's an artist from England. And she took kind of this mirrored concept. So when you walk into part of the chorus line exhibit, you're hearing the music and you see yourself in the mirror. And if you turn, you become the chorus line.
Wow.
It's kind of fun.
All you ever wanted was the music in the mirror.
Exactly. But yeah. We also have Robin Wagner's set model, Theron Musser's lighting plot, so you can, because that was a big technological advancement as well, so we try to track that as people are going through their journey through the timeline.
Well, I'm here with the co-founder of the Museum of Broadway, Julie Boardman. It's a fantastic place. It's very easy to get to. It's right, a little east of the Theater District, 145 West 45th Street, and you probably can sneak in a pretty decent visit between a matinee and an evening.
You could. And we're right next door to the oldest continuously operating theater, the Lyceum.
Oh, which has its own history, I guess, upstairs and stuff. I can't emphasize enough that even if you like Broadway, forget if you love Broadway, which of course you all do, or you wouldn't be listening to this program, so many of the exhibits are alive. They have different takes on them. They're not just sort of hung dusty pieces. And I think the Phantom of the Opera is probably one of the more original exhibits in the museum.
Yeah, we worked with a German artist who took, it's almost 14,000 crystals to create this deconstructed chandelier where each crystal represents a performance that Phantom played on Broadway. So when you look at it one way, it looks deconstructed. And when you move over to the left, you see the mask come through, which is really fun. But then it's always coupled with the artifacts and costumes and the monkey music box and all sorts of help prints, like handwritten notes. And
I think when I came, it was missing the last crystal. I think I saw it the week before Phantom closed, right?
Yeah, we added until it closed.
Wow. So how many crystals is that?
I think it's... Oh, now you're making me do math. I think it's 13,971.
It's a lot of crystals.
Including previews? I forget.
Well,
but something like that's a lot.
Mr. Crawford, take us down into the bowels of the Paris Opera House.
We'll be right back.
have seen your face draw back in fear. I am the mask you wear.
It's me they hear.
My spirit and my voice in one comply.
The Museum of Broadway with its co-founder, Julie Boardman. And Julie, you said that one of your ways into putting this together, this amazing place, was being a producer. And you have a particularly interesting exhibit on the producers as well. So was that a show that you saw, and or did, because you said earlier when we interviewed you that you wanted to be a producer, which is actually a song from the show. So did that particular show touch you in a certain way?
You know, it's won more Tony Awards than any other musical in Broadway history. So it swept the Tonys and won 12. So we wanted to showcase that in that moment. And people get to go sit behind the desk and kind of pretend they're the producer. And, you know, it's a bit more of a photo op. Each of the exhibits as you're walking through the timeline are very different than the one before or after. So, you know, right before that, we have The Lion King and incredible costumes from that. Before that, Rent, and you're seeing original costumes and like the projections. And, you know, each one is the design coupled with the artifacts and the history and the handwritten notes. And one thing I really enjoy, and I guess this is the producer hat, but is the process of development. Mm-hmm. So, you know, in a lot of the Rodgers and Hammerstein stuff, we have handwritten, like, you can see how Do-Re-Mi came about, or, you know, those kind of things I think are really cool to see. And anyone could go see it at the Library of Congress, but most don't. So we try to curate a lot of really right, cool content.
Right, but I think to your point, you know, I've seen a lot of original manuscripts and stuff like that, and they're interesting in a reading room, but in the context of the original set, and the thing I love about the producers, it's got that, what do you call it, that shaded glass door, which is which was iconic when Mel Brooks made the movie, and there it is, and you can sit there and you can recite the two rules of show business, which are, one, never put your own money into the show, and what's number two? Never put your money into the show. So there you go. You can see all of that at the Museum of Broadway. All right, let's hear Nathan and Matthew Broderick tell us they can do it.
Don't you see Bloom? Darling Bloom, glorious Bloom. It's so simple. Step one, we find the worst play ever written. Step two, we hire the worst director in town. Step three, I raise $2 million.
Two?
Yes, one for me, one for you. There's a lot of little old ladies out there. Step four, we hire the worst actors in New York and open on Broadway. And before you can say step five, we close on Broadway. Take our $2 million and go to Rio.
Rio? Nah, that'd never work.
Oh, ye of little faith. What did Lewis say to Clark when everything looked bleak? What did Sir Edmund say to Tenzing as they struggled toward Everest Peak? What did Washington say to his troops as they crossed the Delaware? I'm sure you're well aware.
What'd they say?
We can do it. We can do it. We can do it, me and you. We can do it. We can do it. We can make our dreams come true. Everything you've ever wanted is just waiting to be had. Beautiful girls wearing nothing but pearls, caressing you, undressing you, and driving you mad. We can do it. We can do it. This is not the time to shirk. We can do it. You won't rue it. Say goodbye to Petty Clerk. Hi, producer. Yes, producer. I mean you, sir. Go berserk. We can do it. We can do it. And I know it's gonna work. What do you say, Bloom?
What do I say? Finally a chance to be a Broadway producer. What do I say? Finally a chance to make my dreams come true, sir. What do I say? What do I say? Here's what I say to you, sir. I can't do it. I can't do it. I can't do it, that's not me. I'm a loser, I'm a coward, I'm a chicken, don't you see? When it comes to wooing women, there's a few things that I lack. Beautiful girls wearing nothing but pearls, chasing me, embracing me, I'd have an attack.
Why, you miserable, cowardly, wretched little caterpillar. Don't you ever want to become a butterfly? Don't you want to spread your wings and flap your way to glory? We can do it.
Mr. Viola, stop this double song. You've got me wrong.
I'm so long,
I'm not as strong a person as you think.
We can do it.
Mr. Viola, we can do it. I'm not
drink
a crook.
Champagne,
I'm just a
not
bottom
ginger
line
ale.
Is that I sing.
Come on, Leo.
I can't
you see, O?
You see Rio, I see
jail. We can do it.
I can do it.
We can do it.
I can do it, because I know it's gonna fail.
We can do it. I know
it's
we cannot fail.
Come with me to the Emerald City.
One short day in the Emerald City.
Oh, I've always wanted to see the Emerald City.
One short day in the Emerald City.
There's something exquisite you'll want to visit before the day's through.
buildings tall as quacks with trees, dressing on libraries,
palaces,
museums, 100 strong. There are wonders like I've never seen.
It's all grand
and it's all green. I think we found the place where we belong. I wanna be in this toy balloon.
Well, if you have one short day in Manhattan and you love the theater, you should, I guess, see a show. You can see that in the evening. But during the day, come to the Museum of Broadway on 145 West 45th Street. It's not hard to come, right? You can get your ticket ahead of time online, I guess? Or how would you instruct our listeners to make their way here?
Yeah, you can get a ticket online. It's themuseumofbroadway.com. You can also buy a ticket in person. If you have a group that you're coming with of 10 or more, you can do a special group price and arrange that ahead of time. We have a rehearsal studio where we do a lot of like programming and classes and fun things like that. So we keep that on our events calendar on the website and on social media. Just trying to create fun things and conversations for people to be part of. We've had some really incredible talent come through. Stephen Schwartz was here the other week playing the piano right behind you.
Oh, is that because of the 20th anniversary?
No, we were just doing a live reading from Barry Singer's book, and
wow.
Stephen Schwartz and Tom Schumacher came, and Stephen got up and was playing and talking about like how he created some of the motifs and melodies and things. It's really incredible
wow.
to hear from the person. But he
sure.
was playing Duncan Sheik's piano from Spring Awakening. So it was, lots of cool, fun things happen at the Museum of Broadway. You never know who you'll run into.
Well, one thing that you've sort of accelerating, I guess if that's the word, November is your one-year anniversary.
It is.
Mazel tov. But you do these sort of special exhibits that pull certain shows or focus on certain shows.
He got down on one knee, but I said no way. Packed my bags and moved into a nunnery. Joined the gospel choir, our riffs were on fire. At the top of the charts is where gonna stay.
Henry sent me a poem all about my green seeds. I changed a couple words, put it on a sick beat. The song blew their minds. Next minute I was signed, and now I'm writing lyrics for Shakes EP. Since my first son, our family's grown. We've made a band and got quite well known. You could perhaps call
bless the Tudor Von Trapps. I'm just kidding, we're called the Royaling Stones.
We're one of a kind, no category. Too many years lost in history. We're free to take our crown in glory for 5 more minutes. We're six.
What a shame, yeah, my face, it cost me the crown. So I moved to the
House of Holbein
in my hometown. His mates were super hearty, but I showed them how to party. Now on my tour of Prussia, everybody gets down.
Music man tried it on, and I was like, bye. So I thought, who needs him? I can give it a try. I learned everything, now all I do is sing. And I'll do that until I die.
Heard all about these rocky chicks, loved every song and each remix. So I went out and found them, and we laid down an album. Now I don't need your love, all I need is six.
Oh, that's lovely.
We're one of a kind, no category. Too many years lost in history. We're free to take our crown in glory for 5 more minutes. We're six. Up the flow and we change the prefix. Everybody knows that we used to be six wise. But we wanna say before we drop the curtain, nothing is for sure, nothing is for certain. All that we know.
That was Six, currently running on Broadway, and you have a current exhibition on that show. Tell us about that.
Yeah, we just launched it a couple days ago with Six the Musical. We've called the exhibit Six the Royal Gallery, so you can see all six of the queens, their costumes up close. It's really cool to see the details. You can sit on the throne, and it's the only place that you can actually do that unless you're in the Broadway show. So people are really loving that. We have
and can you get your photo? I guess you can.
Yeah, we have a photo booth, so you can get your photo taken sitting on the throne, being the queen for the day. You can do a listening station and kind of you see how the show was developed also, which I think is really interesting, how Lucy and Toby went, you know, met in school and wrote it, and the Edinburgh Fringe Festival, and, you know, the development, how it's become this global sensation.
Sure.
And it's a lot of female empowerment, and, you know, Diane and I created the Museum of Broadway, and we're two females.
Two. Your musical should be called Two.
Yes.
Well, I'm really thrilled. Where's the time all gone to, as they say? But here we are at the Museum of Broadway. I can't urge listeners enough to come and make a visit. It's just such a charming, wonderful place. You can go many times and enjoy it. And I've really enjoyed spending our all too fast 54 minutes with Julie Boardman, who's the co-founder. And in your honor, Julie, we're going to close out with 42nd Street, which I know is very near and dear to you. So any other parting thoughts about the Museum of Broadway you'd like us to know?
I think we just welcome everyone to come and see what it is. You know, it's across like you said before, three floors of exhibits. We have a complimentary coat check and lockers and all the things.
And a heck of a gift shop.
And a really amazing gift shop.
Just three of my books in it.
Yeah, we have things from every current running Broadway show and Hirschfeld. We have like a shop within a shop with Hirschfeld and a lot of Broadway makers and things. So we have a really fun gift shop that's open with or without a ticket to the museum. So you can get all your holiday gifts there for the Broadway lover in your life. I think mostly just, you know, we hope this place celebrates Broadway and can help, you know, educate and inspire people. You, as you're walking through the timeline, you're like, oh, I could do it too. Like, uh-huh. look at how, you know, people were influenced by those who came before. And so I'm really excited to see what the future of Broadway holds too.
Well, it certainly holds the hip hooray and ballyhoo of old Broadway. Thank you, Julie.
Thank you so much.
I'm sorry, show business isn't for me. I'm going back to Allentown.
What was that word you just said? Allentown? I'm offering you a chance to star in the biggest musical Broadway seen in 20 years, and you say Allentown? Come on along and listen to the lullaby of Broadway. The hip hooray and ballyhoo. The lullaby of Broadway. The rumble of the subway train. The rattle of the taxis. The daffodils who entertain at Angelo's and Maxie's when a Broadway baby says goodnight. It's early in the morning. Manhattan babies don't sleep tight until the dawn. Good night, baby. Good night. Milkman's on his way. Sleep tight, baby. Call it a day. Listen to the lullaby of old Broadway.
Come on along and listen to the lullaby.
The lullaby of Broadway.
the time all gone to? This is Larry Maslon here at Broadway to Main Street. Let's catch up next Sunday at 3.
There's so much more embracing still to be done, but time is racing. Oh, we'll catch up some other time.